Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Today marks 4 years since our son Bradley went to meet Jesus at age 21. We miss him more than words can say. And in remembering him today and honoring that anniversary, I want to share a special recording of my talk at Fairplay Camp School yesterday. Scott and I had opportunity to share with them yesterday. We always feel so close to Bradley when we go back to the camp school. We're blessed to have the opportunity every couple of years for me to come and share Bradley's story with a new group of boys. Yesterday, there were about 50 boys in attendance. I wanted to hug each and every one of them personally. As I looked around, I couldn't help but think about all the lives that are being impacted by Fair Play. Our lives are among those. They sowed so much love into our Bradley and equipped him with tools that he needed to live his life. They made an impact, just like they're making an impact in the lives of these young men. They started the morning out by singing hymns. Their singing was absolutely beautiful, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to record part of one of their songs. Here it is.
Thou art with him always, oh, he's thy still waters. Thou art with him always, always thy shares. Thou art with him always, always thy still waters. Thou art with him always.
Absolutely beautiful. Now here's my talk.
Okay. Good morning.
My name is Sharon Hawkins. And my husband over there by the door is Scott. And we are the proud parents of a pioneer. Who are the pioneers in our group? I'm going to give you a round of applause. You have a special place in our lives because our son, Bradley, was here about 10 years ago, and he was a pioneer. He had wonderful adventures here. I'm going to share a couple of things about that, but I first want to share just a little video so you can get to know Bradley. Now, Bradley is much older now. He came home at 15, so now he would be 25. But Bradley went to be with Jesus 4 years ago. Tomorrow will be 4 years. So if y'all will bear with me if I cry, just like y'all's mama, I might cry because I'm a mama of a pioneer. But this is Bradley. He lived larger than life. He had a big smile always, and just he loved life.
I work my fingers to the bone. Dirty worries all around.
He wants to keep going, full of life. That was my Bradley. Today I want to share with you about Bradley. He had an incredible story of victory that not a lot of people knew about. He started out in very humble beginnings. He was born in Kharkov, Ukraine. And his biological mother was not able to take care of him. And so she left him in the hospital there. And God moved heaven and earth to bring him to his family that God meant for us to have with Bradley. And I'm sure in that Ukraine orphanage, the devil thought, you know, this boy's alone. And I think for sure that I can have him. But God had different plans for that young man. God had different plans. So he moved, as I said, heaven and earth to bring us together. And we went during a time that most of you in the room weren't even born yet. We went right after 9/11. Who's heard of that? Can anybody tell me what happened? 9/11? What happened, yes?
The Twin Towers were hit by suicide bombers.
Yes, that's exactly right. That happened on September 11th, 2001. And we traveled in October of that same year to go get Bradley. And we took our 7-year-old son with us. My husband Scott and I have an older son. His name's Taylor. And we took him with us. And it was a scary time. There were soldiers everywhere in the airports, and they kept searching us and going through all of our luggage. And so it was a very scary time for us. But we got there, and we found ourselves in this Kharkov, Ukraine orphanage. We're from Pickens, South Carolina. We had never been out of the country, hardly out of the southeast region, but we found ourselves in Ukraine in a wartime. And it was right after America had bombed Afghanistan. They called it shock and awe. And it was America's way of fighting back when that happened, when those towers were attacked. America was attacking that government that brought that here. So a lot of people were flooding out of Afghanistan and going into Ukraine. They said, don't open your mouth here because they are not happy with America right now. But you look like Ukrainians, so nobody will know. One morning, we found ourselves waiting in a little small room, and a nurse walked in with this beautiful boy, little boy. He was 15 months old, just a toddler. Wasn't walking yet. Most of the children in the orphanage up to age 3 weren't walking. He was in that nurse's arms, and he reached out his little hand as if to claim his new family. And when he did, he reached right into my heart, into my chest, and he pulled out my heart, and he owned it forever. And he is truly my son. He is truly Scott's son. Our older son was conceived in, I always say, conceived in my tummy. And my younger son was conceived, and he was conceived in our hearts. So we love them both the same. They're both our sons. We love them so much. So Bradley was here from the time he was 13 until he was 15. And he had many adventures, as I said here. When he came home from the orphanage with us, he was troubled. He had trouble bonding with us. He had trouble showing love, and he acted out. And he would not tell us the truth, and he would take things, and he would be aggressive. And so he was just an unhappy young man, and he was really struggling. So when he was 13, there's a chief, Chief Bill, who's not here anymore. He came to our home, and he had a talk with Bradley about Fair Play Camp, about what a wonderful program it was, where young men could come and find peace and learn to get along with each other and learn to have tools so that they could have good times with their families and be equipped for life. Phil showed a video to our son, and he was so excited that by the time Chief Phil left, Bradley was drawing pictures of cabins and structures at the kitchen table by the time we got back. He was so excited and ready to come. So he came here, and again, there were some adventures, and some of y'all can relate to this. Bradley had a friend, I'll say. He wasn't a friend at the time. I think he was his arch enemy, and his name was Paul, and he was here at the camp, Paul Hendricks. Well, Bradley Hawkins and Paul Hendricks were fighting all the time, fussing, carrying on. And so the Pioneers took a road trip. They went, my husband says it was in Kentucky. I don't remember the river, if anybody knows, but they went on a hiking trip, a canoe trip down the river. And these chiefs were very smart because they wanted these boys to be friends. So they put all the provisions on one boat, and they put Paul and Bradley manning that boat. Okay? Can y'all just imagine this? Okay? Are there any of y'all? I know none of y'all have arch enemies within your group. I bet none. The chiefs might say otherwise. Well, let me just give the chiefs a little tidbit of information from those chiefs who learned. They put those boys on that boat, and they would fight, and all the rest of the boys would go down the river, and they'd have to get off and wait because Paul and Bradley would be on that canoe, that boat, fighting with all the provisions. Now, all the boys are thinking, we're going to lose all of our food, you know, because they're, and why are we trusting it to Paul and Bradley? But they continued on down the river. They came to a place where the water got, there'd been a lot of rain and the rapids were really rough. And Paul still says to this day that Bradley saved his life. But Paul fell out of the boat, and Bradley, supernaturally, I believe it was the Lord, showed him how to maneuver that boat around, reached down, pulled Paul up out of that water, saved his life, Paul says. So after that, guess what? They became best friends. That's what camp can do for you here. I hope you will see that God is in all of that. God created that river. God creates those chiefs with those great minds to help you work together and make those friendships, and they may be hard fought, but some of these young men that you can't stand right now, years from now, are going to be your best friends. And let me tell you, your chiefs care so deeply about you. They're the ones that made that plan. So those great friends were created because the chiefs had wisdom to know how to make that happen. It's created through adversity. Adversity is hard times, and you're going to experience some if you haven't already out here in camp. You're going to. It's about to be cold. You're going to feel a little bit of that coming up. But God is in the middle of all that, and He uses that to teach us, to grow us. Never for a minute believe that God is not here at camp working in your life to make you who He wants you to be. But back to Bradley. He came here from 13 to 15, and when he came back home, we had a period of time when he was better. He was less aggressive, less angry. I'll back up. When he was 7 years old, before he ever came to camp, he was sitting in our basement watching a movie about Jesus coming back, and it was called Left Behind. It's a fictional story about when Jesus comes back, but he came running out of the basement, and he came and found me, and he said, "Mama, I don't want to get left behind when Jesus comes back." And I remember I was out working in my garden, and I sat right there on the bank of our property, and I told him about Jesus. And he asked Jesus to come into his heart. But we didn't see a lot of changes then, and he had a lot of struggles, as I said. So when he came to camp, and he was here for 22 months, I believe. He was here for a long time. He was a special case. He kept lingering. They tried to send him home, and he was still struggling. But on the bank of the river, one of his chiefs nailed that down for him, and they talked about Jesus and about how Jesus can come into your life and your heart and make a change. And so he did that. He talked to the chief about Jesus. That's something else your chief can do, is tell you about Jesus. I had many long talks with Bradley after he left Fair Play. And I had the opportunity to hike a lot with him. And we had a lot of fun out in the woods. I remember one day we were up, I think it was Table Rock, but there was a little swimming area there. And he was over 20 years old at the time, but he's always been a daredevil, into things. And I climbed up on this rock and he said, "I'm going to jump in." Well, the water, I looked down and I could see the bottom of it, and it looked like it was about 5 feet deep. And I said, "I am not going to watch you break your neck right here." I said, "If you're going to jump, I'm going to go on down and I'll just meet you at the bottom when you float down, because you're going to get hurt." Chiefs, are there any boys in here that sound like that? Be careful from a mom who knows. We had a daredevil son, and but he said, "No, Mom, I'm coming with you." So he came on down. Bradley, when he was 18 years old, we had a talk with him. His dad said to him 6 months before he turned 18, "Son, you're going to be a man, and you're going to have to quit treating your mom with disrespect. The lying, the cheating, all of the aggressiveness has got to stop, or you're not going to be able to live here." So I got on my knees and I begged God to make a way for Bradley. And I had breast cancer many years ago, and my physical therapist, Hal Turpin, had started a home and had helped young men who had been on drugs and been in jail and all kinds of things. And the Lord said, "Call Hal." And I'm like, "Well, that's for men, and this is my young boy." But I guess Bradley was a man by then. He was 18. So he went to live with them. He has a journal that he kept here. And in this journal, he wrote, I don't know if y'all can see this. Let's see what that says. It says, "I am yours." Okay. I used to hound Bradley to death about, "Are you saved, son? I want to make sure I see you in heaven one day." After Bradley died, I found this in his journal, and it says, "I am yours." And I know that was Bradley because he hated cursive, so it's not very neat. And it's misspelled. If you can see, the last little ump in the U is missing. That's Bradley. That is all Bradley. And I know how the pastor that lived where he lived had encouraged him to journal, but nobody held his hand and made him write, "I am yours." Okay. Our older son is a minister of music for a big church in Greenville. And he wasn't really about tattoos, but he has had this tattooed right here under his arm so that he has opportunity to share his story about his little brother. But our older son has OCD. Does anybody know what that is? Things have to be just perfect. So he had to fix the little oomph in the U. So it's not exactly right, but it is the same, except it has one more little under the U. So I know that I know that I know where our son is. Our son is with Jesus. This journal is filled with prayers for his family, for his grandmother and grandfather who were in bad health. He prayed for you all. Paul was in this. This is his friend from camp that he made. Paul's name is in here. There's another boy. His name is Hudson. He came several years after. We spoke with a lot of parents, and there have been a lot of young men come through here as a result of meeting with us and us telling them what a great place this is. Some days you may not feel like it's great, but God's doing a work here. In this journal, he had written time and time again, Psalm 51. It was his favorite verse, Psalm 51:10. This is the passage. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You know, when he was in that orphanage, the enemy, Satan, wanted to have him, and he couldn't have him, but he never wanted to let go. So Bradley would get along, and the devil would say to him, "You're no good. Nobody really loves you." And it would start a spiral through his life where he would push people away that really cared about him the most. He knew he struggled, and he would swing like a pendulum from left to right. He would either be cutting grass for a widow, or he would be in a dark place where he was lying and yelling out in anger and having rages against the people that loved him. And I am so mad at the devil for how he tortured my son, how he lied to him. So let me say to you, if the devil ever lies to you and tells you you're no good and tells you you're not loved, that is a lie. I want you to ask in your mind, who said that? God would never say that. God would never say that. That is the enemy trying to get you not to be all that you can be, all that God wants you to be. What the devil meant for evil, God used for good in Bradley's life. The more the devil would try to bring him down and depress him, the more that he would work against that, and he would do good things and be good. And we know that God is sovereign. And that means, does anybody know what that means? Sovereign? Anybody? Okay. Sovereign means that God is over everything, and whatever happens to us, good or bad, God is over that. Okay? He's in control. And in Romans 8:28, it says, "All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose." It doesn't say all good things. It says all things. So when bad things happen, God is using that to grow us to be who He wants us to be. So Bradley made that one simple decision that changed everything. On November 10th, 2021, 4 years ago tomorrow, he woke up to a beautiful morning. He worked at Tractor Supply. He was 21 years old. And as you can see, he loved life. The girl in the picture was his girlfriend, Georgia. She came and picked him up that morning. And she was off work. She worked at Tractor Supply too. And so they decided that they were going to go to Easley. And on their way, they came by to see me. I was working from home. And I will never forget, it was a beautiful day just like today. And he stood out in the yard and he looked around. We live in a place called Dacusville. It's near Easley. And he looked around and he saw this most beautiful golden tree. And he said, "Mama, I love Dacusville. I just love Dacusville." And then he said, "I got to go to the bathroom." So he goes in the house, and his girlfriend was out in the car. And so I kept talking to her. But I heard him in the house on my piano, just banging. He couldn't play a lick, but he was just thinking he could. So he was banging on my piano, just singing to the top of his lungs. It took me a year after he passed away before I could ever sit down and play that again, play my piano. But I can play it now. And the song that I played is the first time is Victory in Jesus, and my family sang that with me. Because we do have victory in Jesus. We can have victory in Jesus. But that was a beautiful morning. They came by to see me. They went to Easley. He went to Joe's, which is like an ice cream parlor with hot dogs, hamburgers. Anybody know about Joe's in Easley? Yeah. We got some fans here. You know. So he had a chili cheeseburger, what we call run it through the garden. It had lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, probably carrots and whatever else he could get on it. Chili just pouring, oozing out. If I know him, it was a double. Everything was with and all the way with this boy. We got any eaters in here? I bet the ladies who cook would say we got a bunch. Boy, don't they have good food here? They do. But then he had that with onion rings and French fries, and he had a big old double scoop of chocolate chip mint ice cream. And so on the anniversary of his death every year, we try to go to Joe's and have that meal. We can't eat it, but we try. So anyway, that day, They left Joe's and they walked across the street to this antique store. It's Uncle Sam's antique store. If you've never been there, it's like going back in time. They have all kinds of old things to see. And then he pulled his skateboard out of the back of his car, of her car, and she got hers. His was a little old and rickety. Didn't put a helmet on, either one of them. So I'm all about helmets, guys. If y'all are riding anything, put a helmet on. But he got right there at the Easley Police Department. He got on his skateboard. They went to the top of the hill. Georgia and Bradley both got on their skateboards and started down the hill. And it is a very steep incline down through there. And Georgia's board started wiggling. And she got scared and she jumped off. But Bradley took that hill. And when he did, there was a bump at the bottom of the hill. And his skateboard splintered. It popped in two. And when it did, it threw him. And he hit the back of his head. And he died from cardiac arrest, a heart attack. His heart stopped beating because his brain was damaged and couldn't tell his heart how to work. So my 21-year-old son, 230-pound, pioneer, Eagle Scout, who had just got off the Appalachian Trail, who thought he could conquer the world, in shape, strong as a mule, was gone. Like that, was gone. And our hearts were broken in a billion pieces. But you know what? I think Bradley went down that hill. They said he went down that hill and I know they worked with him, but I think he skidded. If I know my boy, that you saw how he lived, he skidded down that hill as hard and fast as he could go, my daredevil, and he slid in sideways right into heaven on his skateboard. And the Lord was there because Jesus knew him. Jesus had saved him, had saved his soul because he made him his personal Savior. And I'm just sure that Jesus just looked at him and said, "Huh, there's that boy from Ukraine." And the devil thought nobody wanted you. Welcome home. Welcome home. You're here. God wanted him. We wanted him. All the people around him wanted him. So now he is in heaven. And I can imagine that he just grabbed hold of Jesus and gave him the biggest old bear hug. Boy, I miss those bear hugs. I hope when I get to heaven, I can get a bear hug from my boy. So I beg you, don't wait. If you haven't made things right with Jesus, if you haven't asked him to come into your heart and be your Savior, he can save you. But also, he can save you every day and help you through life and things, hard things that you go through. Maybe you can relate to him. But let me tell you, God wants the unwanted. Bradley felt unwanted, but God wanted him. So don't listen to the lies of the devil if he tells you you're unwanted. I brought a little illustration here. If you will just indulge me for a minute. If you will just think about this rope, all of us are going to live for eternity somewhere. Everybody. If you accept Jesus, then one day you get to go to heaven. If you don't accept Jesus, there is a place for us. It's called hell. And we don't want anybody to go there. We want everybody to accept Jesus. But we're going to live somewhere forever. Just pretend like that rope goes on for all eternity. It doesn't end there. It goes on and on, around the earth and around the earth forever and ever. This is our 80 years. If we're lucky, if we're blessed enough to have 80 years. This little white piece right here, that's what you get here on earth. That's what you get somewhere else, okay? So we spend all of our time right here trying to figure out, okay, I got to get through this week for this weekend. I got to get through this so we can go on a hiking trip. I got to do this for right here. But what we need to think about is all eternity. It makes a difference. So I have a favorite verse that every mom who's lost a child has a verse. Well, here's mine. There are several verses. It's 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. And it says, "Therefore do not lose heart, Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. These troubles down here don't seem light and momentary. They seem like they go on and on, but they will be. They'll be temporary. And you can do anything temporarily. When you're out on the trail and you think, I can't do this one more thing, remember this. If you don't remember anything else, remember about that Jesus, we all need Jesus. But secondly, remember, you can do anything temporarily. I mean anything. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So you're going to live somewhere. Where's it going to be? Thank y'all so much for having me today. It's been a real blessing. I love the camp. Our family does a fundraiser at Table Rock. My husband plays in the band, and we do that on Bradley's birthday in July every year. We raise money for the camp. We believe in fair play. We believe in it. We've seen many young lives changed from here. Ours, our lives have been changed because of fair play. And we just want to thank you all for what y'all do here. But boys, take advantage, because your chiefs love you. God loves you. It's going to be all right. God's got big plans for every one of you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.